You're listening to Keep It 100 Girl Show with Nina Babel.
Sup, girlies? Thanks for listening and joining me today. If you've never heard of me before, I'm your host, Nina Babel. I'm a YouTuber, author, girlpreneur, and speaker. And you can connect with me on all social media platforms using @NinaBabel. This show is totally dedicated to empowering women of all ages. Women who just don't know their worth or even your power throughout your life. Girl, we're going to talk about cool, relatable TMI moments that happen to all of us on a regular basis, starting right from puberty straight down to the M train. Real women, they're going to give their real advice. This podcast will serve as a woman's handbook full of self-care mantras dedicated to all my girlies out there who are too shy, nervy, or embarrassed to ask all those sensitive questions related to love, sex, dating, or even your sexual health. I'm going to give you that muscle power you need to make informed decisions in real life with confidence. And you know what? You're going to understand your body a whole lot better too. By the end of this giant sleepover, I want you to say, oh my God, that's so me. I want you to laugh. I want you to relate to my stories. So what makes me different, right? I celebrate embarrassment using a sassy but classy TMI approach. And for some of you, I know you're going to feel embarrassed and exposed. We're going to have fun. There's nothing to be ashamed of. And to all you prudish ones out there, I know you're going to find this disgusting. When other girls talk out loud about their experiences, you feel like we should keep it private or between your friends and not publicize this kind of thing. Sadly enough, the majority of women are really embarrassed and still embarrassed when they are in need. And I really want to change that mindset. This is a generation that has a lot of negative influences. I add humor to the basics that most of us, well, we should know already, but some of us just might not or just do a good job of following. I'm going to pump up the jams, pump it up with real life personal stories. We got a lot of those. I mean, in addition to my own experiences, real women, they're going to give their real mother friggin' advice. They're going to express their real life personal bloopers when it comes to sensitive girly stuff. You know, all those conversations you already have with your girlfriends on a daily? Well, that's exactly what's going to happen right here. We, myself included, we're going to celebrate embarrassment by telling the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. Even if it's totally embarrassing or super cray-cray. My hand is raised. How about you? Are you ready for the whole truth, nothing but the truth? Welcome back, Girl Circle Nation. So, in last week's episode, you learned more about me, my brand, and even this podcast. So, in case you missed it, go back and rewind and replay and take a listen.
Nina keeps it real and true. She keeps it 100. Girl, that's right. Think of her as your go-to girlfriend. No filter, real girlfriend advice. She dishes on you what your mother didn't tell you, but your girlfriend did.
Today, girlies, are you ready for the whole truth, nothing but the truth? Because I'm kicking off my podcast with an icebreaker. Coming up on today's episode, we're going to be talking about every woman's obsession. And I know we got plenty, but today we're talking about the pooch. We're talking about that unwanted friend who loves to overstay their welcome. You guessed it, the pooch. But I want you to remember something. On this podcast, we don't age by years, but by our stories. Enough stories, because every woman listening, you got a story to tell. So I made this funny realization the other day. I was shopping online for the holidays, and I realized there's books called What's Happening to My Body? and it's more targeted for girls and boys going through puberty. And they're focusing on sensitive issues like their body changing, understanding their body now, and drumming up excitement about what changes are going to take place with their body. Now, the older version of this book, if it was ever to become available, I think it would sound something like this. My plumbing is changing. I don't understand my body now, and I'm actually not excited about the changes taking place. Do you feel me? Ladies, I didn't realize until after the fact how much I took my 20s for granted, thinking, I don't know what I was thinking, was maybe that I would remain the same, I was immune from gaining weight, or just things changing. And I'd always have this Coca-Cola shape. We have to build stop signs in our lives, not just related to the body, but just in general. And it wasn't until one day I stopped in my tracks and I was like, whoa, I did a double take in the mirror. And I was like, whoa. It was like slow motion, right? This whole Chariots of Fire moment when I realized my favorite assets were taking on a life of its own without my permission. And this internal voice was like, no.
No.
Ladies, your plumbing changes after the age of 30 and beyond. Seriously, you are destined to have the assets given to you, but they're also destined to be taken away. And I'm in like total denial. I'll admit, you know, I did the whole like inhaling thing. You know, you suck in the stomach for that right pose, that right angle, just to hide my pooch imperfections. I don't want anyone to see them. So the difference between then and now is we have to earn it. Girl, we have to work twice as hard. It's not like long ago where 2 weeks of hopping on the treadmill for 30 minutes and boom, you're back to normal. You reap what you sow carries a whole new different meaning. I mean, this is a time period where life catches up with you, man. I keep telling myself no more excuses, like I really need to work out regularly. I need to stop eating those quote unquote wrong foods, cut them out of my diet. I need to do those things that I used to do in my 20s religiously just to maintain. Ugh, it's depressing. Going back to the pooch. It's the infamous pooch we all cringe at because it doesn't go away with a whole lot of trying. And let me tell you, it's the inner real girl moment everybody's bound to have. 100%. Having a pooch sucks. Not only does it suck, but the pooch has a tendency to show up at the most inopportune moments where you're just like, really? I mean, really? That dang on pooch, it's the only thing that really irks me as I age. I mean, this little, I don't even know if it's little, but it's just a fistful of fat that just sits on my torso below my belly button. I mean, how does a girl get rid of this thing? I mean, literally, I could double over and I could pinch an inch of flab. Let me give you a few examples, though. It's the holiday season, you know, and I have these dresses all lined up that have been hanging in my closet for so long, but the pooch is saying, no. And then, you know, you go on vacation. And the worst thing is when you get traveler's diarrhea, because your stomach just balloons because you haven't been able to go to the bathroom. And even further, that bikini you were going to wear, it's not going to look good, girl. End result is you soon realize that there's certain clothing you just can't rock the same way, or you just got to retire them for good, knowing this pooch is here. I think if there's one insecurity most women have, guaranteed, it's your fupa. It's the fat upper pussy area. I'm going to explain it more in a little bit, but it's the aha moment that fucks with our self-conscious every single day. From the time you wake up in the morning until you go to bed. This area of our body clearly has a mind of its own. No, it's not a curvy girl thing either. I'm not fat shaming anybody because I'm all about body positive stuff. I'm just making it clear that this affects all women, no matter what size you are, especially as we age or have children. Women love to talk about the pooch, don't get me wrong. I call them my pooch posse of girlfriends. Most of them have had kids, so they don't really take me seriously, but we all have a tendency to exchange pooch stories, tips, exercises, and advice on getting rid of the pooch. I mean, one time this past summer, I was trying on some really, really cute high-waisted shorts, but I was too embarrassed to come out of the change room because my pooch took front and center stage. And I was just like, damn, I know my BFF is going to be like, what the hell were you thinking? But where I'm going is her sister, who's a trainer, was just like, look, you need to cut out the fruit. You need to be smarter about your fruit choices, especially bananas and pineapples, which have a lot of sugar. And that's really what I used to live on. She told me, like, focus on veggie smoothies. And she said, you'll see your stomach go down. Okay, so I'm going to turn it over to Roxanne, who is a personal trainer in New York City. She's going to share with the girl circle her solid exercise habits and food choices in order to help us women reduce the pooch. We have Roxanne, and she is a trainer at Lucille Roberts in the Big Apple, New York City. Roxy, are you ready to keep it 100?
I'm ready to keep it 100, girl.
Great. So, in this episode, we're talking about the pooch. And as a personal trainer, when women come to you, what is their biggest complaint? Would you say it's the pooch, or is there any other competing area of our body?
95% of the time, the biggest area is the pooch. That's the first question. Help me get rid of my pooch. It depends on the age of the client that's coming in. The biggest problem I notice is that the young girls coming into the gym these days, they don't have that look. And everybody wants to buy a waist trainer to attempt to get that look. You know, and I think a lot of it stems from what the teenagers these days eat. Everything is get it to me fast. How quick can I get it? And that's what they do. That's what they live by. So they come in thinking for a get fit quick scheme or plan, which I can't provide. And they also come in with the attitude of, yeah, I'm just going to eat McDonald's and it's going to be quick and fast and I can go to the gym or I can do something. So everything is how fast I can do it, how fast I can get my food, how fast I can eat, and how fast I can lose the weight.
They're not there because they want to be in the gym.
Definitely not because they want to be. It's always, how fast can you give me a workout to lose this? And they think that if I don't give them plus 100 sit-ups, they're not going to lose it. But that really is probably not the source of the problem. I could give you a million sit-ups, and I still will never give you that flat tummy or that six-pack. A lot of it stems from what they're eating, what they do before they get in the gym, and what they do once they leave the gym. It's the food.
So, I mean, my biggest weakness is sugar, but sugar is also in healthy food, as you know, like fruits. And I'll never forget you telling me, because my pooch was front and center stage before, and you were like, cut out the pineapple, the bananas, and drink veggie smoothies. And you know what? I did do that, and it worked.
Yeah.
So, and ever since then, I've been more mindful about when I eat my bananas. And I used to have bananas every day. And I can't tell you the last time. I definitely haven't had a banana. If I've had a banana, I've had it once in the last 2 weeks.
Fruits in general, they're good, but there's a bad side to fruits. Yeah, they definitely got sugar in them. And then when you think of the fruit smoothies, we tend to just drink on a whole. We tend to throw in the banana and the pineapple and the cherry and the strawberry and the mango and all the sweet stuff. We don't go for the raspberries or the blueberries. And the thing about raspberries and blueberries, they have a lot of antioxidants in them, so they're great not just because it's a fruit or for flavor, but for the added benefits you get from that. So you can take your smoothies just a notch down from having the oversweetened smoothie and have a vegetable smoothie, and maybe you do want to have half a banana. Throw half a banana in, throw some kale and maybe some chia seeds in there with some water or something, and you'll still get a really good tasting smoothies. Forget about the agave nectar and the syrups and all those extra sweet
really?
Stuff. That's just adding into it, right?
That's what I do.
Mina. Just this.
I add the honey or agave.
That's double the sugar. You don't really want to go down the route of double the sugar, right? So you want to try control the sugar intake. Like when you go to the store shopping, you got to look at grams of sugar per serving. 12 grams of sugar per serving, that's too high. I think you should be looking at something about underneath 8 grams and underneath.
Okay. Any preventative maintenance that they can do with the pooch? Because as we age, I think just because we gain more estrogen as we age, or we lose progesterone. So there's a natural tendency for us to gain weight as we get older. And then, you know, with the sugar just adds to it. And the pooch is the first area I find for me is where I gained weight. Everything else is fine. So, you know, as far as exercise, like I'm active and it doesn't matter. So I'm wondering just personally, is it just planks? I mean, I feel like my diet's modified. Like, I don't want to work out every day.
Actually, I have a young lady client. She's late 30s. Mm-hmm. And she was getting ready to go to Trinidad for her carnival. Her biggest goal was, how am I going to lose this gut if I come 3 days a week and I only have about half an hour to 45 minutes? One of the first things I tend to give people is HIIT type activity. So that's high intensity interval training. Okay, so it's something like I come up with about 5 or 6 different activities, and it's going to be fast, but at an interval pace. So maybe one thing is going to be fast sprinting. Sprinting is excellent because it's not only just good for the cardiovascular system, but you think you're also working your legs, and you're also working your core. You need to brace your stomach. You have to brace that abdominal wall. Engage it while you're running fast. No one runs crouched over. Another exercise will be the plank. Plank is definitely good for the full body because you're not just working out the stomach, you're working out the core, the same thing, up from the shoulders all the way down through to those hips, not just the stomach working where you'd be doing a million crunches to get a workout on your stomach, right? So we do the plank, and then we'd get back up and do something else. Maybe we do an added-on plank, something like a mountain climber.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with the mountain climber?
Yes, I don't like it.
But now we just took running and put it together with the plank.
I know, but I prefer running and then doing the plank.
Another exercise I like to give into that round of HIIT would be some good heavy lifting. So some squats, perhaps. We put a weighted bar up on the shoulder and do some squats. And again, one of the ways that squats work, not just what we know them for to help strengthen the legs and the booty, but it's the core too, because you have to think about that bar that's going up on your shoulder. You have to engage your core. You can't have a rounded back doing a squat because it's not quite a squat in that sense of the way. So there again, you're bracing your body by engaging your core. These are secret ways to work the abs and yet work the entire body at the same time. So now we've got sprinting, mountain climbers, planks, and some squats. So the 4 exercises that we can give. And then at the end, maybe if you want to do those crunches, why not? And you repeat that exercise about 4 or 5 times, get you through about half an hour, 45 seconds of each exercise, and take a rest in between, and get you through to about half an hour.
And how many times a week?
3 times a week.
Okay, and then just going back.
So she ended up losing 20 pounds, and she looks fantastic. I would love to share her picture, but obviously we can't do that. But she looked fantastic.
And that was all her pooch?
Her pooch and her legs.
Wow.
She had the lower half syndrome, so the pear-type shape. Smaller body, lower body was heavy.
No kids?
No kids.
Late 30s?
Late 30s.
That was a success story. So is there a scenario where, like, someone came in and just blew it? I mean, you described the young millennial type who wants it quick, wants to get rid of it fast. Then you have your client, your success story. And just to kind of complete the picture, is there anything that probably didn't work, or a client who just gave up and because of whatever habits that they just could not put in place and adopt?
People want to see the results a little faster than the journey takes, right? So I've experienced a client who hopes they can lose a lot of weight before weddings. This is a typical thing. They come in last minute before the wedding. They've probably got about 4 weeks to 6 weeks before the wedding, and they want to get a flat stomach, and they want to lose all this weight on their arms or legs, and they got to look great for their pictures. And, you know, planning a wedding is stressful. And when the body is also under stress, it will prevent you from losing weight. It will hold you back from losing weight. And then there's a lot of other side effects of stress. Some people eat because of stress, so they stress eat on top of all that. So coming 6 weeks to a trainer before your wedding expecting to lose perhaps 10 to 20 pounds, it's unrealistic. I give my clients, I say, if you work hard and you focus on what you're eating and focus on what you're doing, you can probably lose about 2 pounds a week. And that would be a safe, healthy weight loss plan. So coming to a trainer, you know, about 6 weeks before your wedding saying you want to lose 20 pounds, and you put me in an impossible situation. So those are the typical sad stories that I have to, you know, deal with, because, you know, you want, I definitely would love someone to look their best on their wedding, and you feel bad. I try to be honest with people that I meet. I try to be as upfront as I can. I say a healthy weight loss will give you about 2 pounds a week. And, you know, if your wedding is in 6 weeks, you know, we can only probably just get you till about 12, 15 pounds. If, right, then that's working hard and making sure they're staying away from stress. They're coming to all their sessions because, you know, again, we're planning weddings. You have appointments here. You have food tasting. You have bridal showers, bachelorettes, all kinds of stuff, right?
Right.
So they're so busy. They're missing appointments. They're not consistent in coming. They're not consistent in eating under stress. And, you know, the week before your wedding, it's almost a write-off with rehearsals and people in from out of town. So those are, and unfortunately, those are the stories you want to be the best, because you want the person to look the greatest on the wedding. But that would be my advice in the end. If you're having a big event, maybe it's not your wedding, but maybe it's a 40th or 50th birthday party or an anniversary party or New Year's, right? You got to start thinking not just 6 weeks ahead of time. You got to start thinking 3 months ahead of time and put in that work. We'll focus on what you're eating, focus on what you're doing, and you'll achieve your results.
Learn what women are thinking but not saying out loud. On this podcast, Nina chats about socially awkward real-life moments and sensitive girly stuff most girlfriends talk about on a daily basis. Think of Nina as your go-to girlfriend.
So genetics aside, every chick with a pulse needs to listen to this podcast and be aware of what eye-opening experiences that are bound to come your way, girl. This is some of the stuff our mothers didn't tell you, but this girlfriend did. Okay, my grandmother, love her to death, but she had a pooch, called the grandma pooch, but she used to wear these elastic band waist pants and pull it way above her belly button just to accommodate her pooch. And I was thinking, man, I guess it's because you had like 6, 7 kids, but I don't want to inherit that. I can't say this enough, ladies. Your 30s and beyond, it's by far the roller coaster decade. Seriously. The TikTok biological clock that does stop is one thing, but the pooch signals the beginning of every woman's slippery slope downwards. I mean, you've RSVP'd your pooch forever spot. What happens in your 30s and beyond is an official inauguration ceremony of where your body shows signs of gravity. So if you're an adult in your 20s listening, girl, for launch your bod now. Remember those assets you were destined to have? Shake what your mama gave you. I mean, within reason, of course. Keep it sassy, but classy. But I call this whole rites of passage thing the woman's shock and awe system. The shock is what's happening to your friggin' body without permission. And then, like, the awe part is, like, you just awe out loud about the shit that sends your mind into overdrive and paranoia. You end up finding ways to just fixing, tidying, tucking, or, you know, some of us are just like, screw it, just learn how to deal with it. On the positive side, you start treating your body better in hopes of salvaging what's left of your hotness. This is a time of life when you need to give a once over to your mom, your aunts, your grandmother, great grandmother, and see what the hell you're about to become in the not too distant future. For real. But now we're going to pull out the GPS, ladies and gents, if you're listening. These are your pooch coordinates. Okay, from your middle section, it starts with the belly button right down to your boom boom hairline.
This is every woman's, and I don't care what size you are, obsession. It's that saggy ass skin, that no remaining elasticity, the stretch marks, the wrinkles, the rolls, the flab, the ugliness, the lumps, the bumps, the cellulite, and of course the muffin top. This makes or breaks whether you're going to wear that dress tonight, girl. Whether you need to dial up a dress size, if you need to loosen up that button after eating, or you might just have to give in and buy that Spanx after all. I've come really close, but my pride, it just stops me from buying one of those.
My purpose is to empower women. If you're too shy, nervous, or embarrassed to ask about sensitive girly stuff, you're in the right place. I'm Nina Babel, your host of the Keep It 100 Girl podcast. Want to know more about my upcoming book launch, What Your Mother Didn't Tell You But Your Girlfriend Did? Then go ahead and check out www.ninababel.com/book.
Sitting on the toilet has taken on a whole new meaning, especially after 30. I mean, if I don't have my phone in my hand, I'm looking down at my pooch while sitting on the toilet, because it F's with my mind to see how much this middle jiggle changes throughout the day. I can't help it. I'm obsessed. I mean, the song, You're Jingling Baby, Go Ahead Baby, by LL Cool J, taking on a whole new different meaning. But let's get to know thy enemy a little more, because I've broken down the pooches into their own categories, and I've even had some experts come and chime in on the conversation. These experts, they're real women giving real mother friggin' advice. So let's start off with the morning pooch. Can I say the morning pooch is the best? You want to know why? Because it doesn't exist. It's the happy part of my day until I exercise or start to eat something. Fupa. Remember I talked about this earlier? It's the fat upper pussy area. Yeah, this is considered the most sacred ground that we worship as women. This is the bubble of fat sitting above your poom-poom that has a mind of its own. It folds, it blows up like bubble gum, it indents, it balloons. It's the Pillsbury dough effect. You're poking, you're prodding, you're playing with your flabby midsection, right? We pinch, we grab it, we try to guess how much fat is wedged in between our fingers, we pinch harder. Then we get depressed about it. The relationship weight pooch. All females are guilty of this sin. I mean, I see some girls get into relationships and blow the hell up. I know you're trying to score points at your own expense, believing a way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Or you go out and eat all the time because you're both these born-again big foodies. You're eating all the wrong foods at the wrong time just to please your hungry asses. You never know when the relationship is going to turn south and break up, though. So if that's the case, you're going to be left with 15 pounds to shake off while he's on to the next one. Yeah, your self-confidence, it's going to turn into self-conscious until you land your next boo. The gas pooch. This is an embarrassing pooch. I've had a hard time imagining my life without bread and cheese. But this is the pooch that blows up like an inflatable device that's ready to pop or just sits there like a fanny pack. You forget sometimes that your lactose intolerant self, like me, can't eat dairy, like ice cream, cheese, milk. I know better. As a result, I end up bloated. I can't shit for 24 hours. Or I just have uncomfortable gas. You feel like a blow-up doll, no matter if you're sitting, standing, lying down. It is a game changer. Changes my mood until things settle down and go back to normal. But one pooch remedy for gas is yoga, believe it or not. It opens up everything and releases the trapped air like nothing else. But on the other hand, make sure you get allergy tested because you might have an allergic reaction to something you don't even realize. I mean, for me, it was dairy. The PMS pooch. Girl, let's start with a positive, because the only good thing about PMS pooches is that they're temporary. And if you have a regular period, we all go through that bloated, that puffy effect. Your hips, your stomach area, they puff up like someone has blown air up inside of you and like you're now a blow-up doll. And by the end of your cycle, you're just constantly pissing the water weight endlessly. And eventually your pooch just goes back to normal. Some of my favorite foods that help me get rid of that excess water towards the end of my cycle are celery, cucumbers, and watermelon. They are like the best for doing that. But let's tap into Girl Circle Nation, because I think this chica has something funny to say about the PMS pooch. So let's take a listen.
PMS pooch, which is like you're bloated, poking a product.
She goes away.
Exactly. It's temporary. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So next is the pregnant pooch. So this is when I have the tendency to double take and wonder if girlfriend is pregnant. You know, I'm staring at her belly. I'm staring at it hard. Because I'm like, should I say anything or not? I do that kind of side eye stare. I size her up and down from head to toe. And I'm like, is she or isn't she? How many months? And most times, you know, I'm like, you know what? Let me just save face and wait it out and see if I was right or wrong about her being pregnant in the first place. But then we have the post-pregnancy pooch or post-baby bod. So for those of you women listening who are preggers, you know the midriff has taken on a new life, right? Literally and figuratively speaking. From what I've heard, I mean, I've not been pregnant, but post-pregnancy pooches are wrinkly. They're flappy, no life, they're stretch-marked skin with no elasticity. Whether it was a C-section or natural birth, I want you to take a listen to what these women had to say. And I made sure these women in the girl circle had different lifestyles. One has a curvy girl build.
Tell me what the pregnant pooch is.
This?
I don't know. What do you want to know about it? It's not a friend. It's there forever.
It's there forever.
So elaborate then. The pregnancy pooch is not temporary.
But then again, I mean, age dependent. If you had a baby when you were in your 20s, or 30s even, she could go away. I mean, not to say she can't go away now. I'm definitely not doing everything that I can to make her go away. But after 35, it's really, really, really hard to get rid of her unless you got pregnant at a size 2 or 0. If you are already kind of like me before and then you have a baby, then she ain't gonna snap back quick. So it just kind of, it varies from when you have the kids for sure, and your general how in shape or out of shape you were before, and how much work you put into getting rid of her. I don't know that I can't lose her, but it would take a whole hell of a lot. Because I read about women, especially like celebrities or whatever, people who snap at, oh, I wouldn't trade it for a while because it's a sign of my child being born or something like that. Like, you know, it's a symbol of motherhood. And I'm in my head giving them the middle finger. I'm like, my child's a symbol of motherhood. I don't need that.
Right.
I don't want that. I mean,
so that's their reason.
I don't even want
the
C-section, huh?
But they get rid of theirs, whether it's surgery or...
Right, and whatever little pouch they are referring to at that point is... is nothing.
Right.
So, sure. They just sound so... I would have traded for the world. It's the symbol of motherhood, of what I went through to bring this beautiful life into...
This beautiful life right there. I don't need symbol on my body.
Right.
Although I have plenty. The cut, the sagging... They're gone.
One was a Pilates-aholic.
Everyone looking at me was like, oh my gosh, you're all belly. There were a lot of people who thought I was having a boy because... I just had belly.
Right.
I didn't. I mean, I had a little bit of butt. I had the boobs, but it was all tummy. When I had her, the thing that a lot of people don't tell you when you deliver is that now you look pregnant. You still look pregnant.
Okay.
After you deliver, and when I came home. It took me a while to get used to my new body. I mean, in many ways, I think I'm still getting used to it a little over 5 months later, but I think I've mentally adjusted. But I would say for the first week after I came home, my one episode of postpartum was because I walked past a mirror and looked at myself, and I still looked like I was pregnant in what I was wearing, and I just lost it.
Wow.
Because I couldn't believe that, like, I just gave birth. I know the doctor said that, you know, I would lose weight, you know, some of the weight relatively quickly, but I still looked pregnant. And this was a week later. Like, how is this possible? And why is it that no one told me this?
Yeah.
So for definitely for a whole weekend, but it felt like it was for 5 days almost. I was in a funk about my body. You said I wear a size 0. It was size 2, okay?
Okay.
thank you.
Well, thanks for clarifying.
Thank you very much. So the things that were size 2, those I don't think I will ever fit into.
Wow.
Ever?
Yeah.
You just went through 9 months of a baby developing, and you cannot expect your body to recover within a couple of weeks.
Right.
It took 9 months. Right. It took 9 months for this to occur. But I don't think it ever really hits you until after the fact, when you're looking at your body, and for me anyway, who was always accustomed to my body being a certain size. But now looking at it, I'm like, oh my gosh, my whole body looks different. My stomach looks different. One of the things my doctor recommended while I was at the hospital was getting a belly bandage, you know, because she said it helps your back because, of course, now the muscle, you know, your stomach muscles have pretty much, and I have C-section, so the stomach support is different for your back. So, you know, the belly bandage is supposed to help not only with back support, but certainly help with retraining the stomach into not necessarily what it used to be, but at least helping in shrinking the size. So I got the smaller size while I was at the hospital. I ordered it online. She told me to wait until my 6-week appointment since she wanted to check the cut first before I put anything over it.
Right.
Once we checked on that, I started using it. It became useless, but because it's two layers, it's like a spandex layer, which is on your skin, and then another layer with Velcro. The Velcro layer became useless very quickly because you lose a lot of baby weight within the first couple of weeks. So the 20 pounds I gained, I also lost within the first couple of months. Mm-hmm. I lost those pounds really, really quickly.
How many?
20.
20, okay.
But the problem was that although the belly bandage was an extra small, for some reason, now the Velcro was where it was supposed to be, it was too big. So I stopped using the Velcro, the outer layer, and I would only use the spandex. And I still use it right now. But what has actually been helping, weirdly enough, is the old-fashioned girdle.
Oh.
Exactly. Who would have thought? Because, and I'm trying to remember why I even bought two pairs, like if I ever needed them before, but I had these two girdles, and I was going through my drawer one day, and I was like, huh, I forgot I had you two. So that is what I would wear regular underwear. I can stop wearing my thongs, don't ask. I would wear my regular underwear, then the girdle, then the spandex part of the belly bandage, and then my regular clothes. So it's kind of weird. It's like I looked at my stomach up to this morning, and it's actually been helping. It actually is, even Alex was saying, yeah, my stomach has gone down even more.
Wow. Okay.
Since I've been using it. The tummy, like, there was actually one period during my, where I was on maternity leave, I was doing this one workout, and then I hurt my back. So I was like, I got that. But I, you know, the girdle and doing like the sit-ups and the crunches and stuff from that the ab series or Pilates, and those things have been helping, plus the girdle. But
you wear the girdle every day?
Every single day. And it's a pain, especially when you need to go to the bathroom.
Okay. Like, I would have thought, given how active you were and how petite you were, and I hate to bring that up as, like, this is what you were, and this is what you are now, but I would have thought post-pregnancy, and maybe it's an age factor too, but it would have been easier to drop off because you already had those muscles developed.
That's what I thought as well. I think age has something to do with it as well, because my metabolism isn't exactly what it would be at age 25 or even age 35. In retrospect, I mean, if there's one thing, you know, if somebody's doctor says that you're fine, walk, even if it's around the block, I would, I mean, if they have the energy to do it, then I would say go for it, because that exercise really, I think, helps. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, that's probably the one thing that sort of prevented in the early stages me moving any more weight that I could have lost. If there's one thing I wish I had done more, it would have been that, I would say.
What would be the consistency of your pooch? Like, do you have stretch marks, or is it, like, jelly? I guess I'm curious what your pooch now feels like.
Interestingly enough, I used a lot of cocoa butter and shea butter while I was pregnant. So I really don't have, weirdly enough, I don't have stretch marks. I do have the jelly pooch, which will, you know, I guess, disappear with more crunches and more
planks.
But yeah, I don't really have any stretch marks. I'm talking to you and looking at it now, actually. I will swear by the shea and the cocoa butter, because that's the only thing I did that, considering, you know, how everyone says that you gain a lot of stretch marks.
Yeah.
But during pregnancy, I mean, the only reason I would think that I don't have it other than genetics or something is the fact that I used cocoa butter and shea butter every single day.
Really? Okay, that paid off. Yeah. Paid off dividends.
That's mentally how I feel.
Right.
Because I have been so accustomed to seeing the flat stomach and the legs, and I am nowhere close to what it used to be, as far as I'm concerned.
And the other one, she's in her 20s, and she was a former tennis athlete.
You know, you probably were like a size 4 or 6 with a flat stomach. And what does that feel like now that, you know, it's temporarily gone? Like, what kind of emotions or mindset have you personally just had to deal with?
Yes, I'd say as a wife, you know, your first thought is, oh, my body was perfect. You know what I mean? It was, you know, I've never really felt like I had the perfect body, you know, being that I've always been athletic, you know, playing tennis. And, you know, I've always had in my mind, you know, how I wanted my tummy to be. And I think eventually with time, I basically was like, okay, I'm going to set this goal before I become pregnant to have my body like this. But of course, life gets in the way, you know, and then, you know, you just kind of get caught up in life, basically. So when I was a size 6, and my husband had encouraged me to, you know, tone up, not necessarily lose weight, but to tone up. I weighed about 150. Before that, I was weighing about 180. That was like my regular weight.
Right.
And, yeah, so I got down to a size 6. And, you know, and as the belly grows, you know, I was fortunate not to get stretch marks up until my 7th month of pregnancy. That's when, you know, I already had a belly, but towards, you know, those stretch ends of the month, it was really starting to, the stretch marks was growing up and up and up. And, you know, and of course, I'm like, okay, apply cocoa butter, but it didn't work for me. You know, I made sure to use the oils and do whatever it is I could, but I just think it's genetics. My body is just, my mom has stretch marks. I have stretch marks now.
Did you know that, like, before you were pregnant, that your mom had stretch marks, or is it only while you were pregnant?
I knew my mom had stretch marks when she would get a little bit bigger, and also noticed that with myself. If I, you know, got a little bit bigger, really kind of quickly, I would get them around my side. And now that, you know, I have the baby, I'm told or I condition my mind to say, okay, you know, first of all, you're made in the image of God. You're beautiful. You know, these are your beauty marks. And, you know, of course, when you're in front of, you know, your husband, you got to stand there butt naked. You have to learn to love you. So that's where I am, even though I see that my body is imperfect. I'm dealing with having a tummy and dealing with clothes that hang, you know, dealing with the extra girth, you know. My husband is very encouraging. You know, he knows that a woman's body is very sensitive and, you know, he can be a little bit, he's a workout guy. He has abs. So he's always looking at himself and checking himself out, you know, but you know, when it comes to me, you know, he's like, baby, you're beautiful. And I'm like, thank you, you know, but of course, in the back of your mind, you're like, okay, I need to get back to where I was.
Right. Right. And how do you get there?
Exactly. I'd say it definitely is a little bit of both. It's a little bit of flab and a little bit of fat. It's kind of hard to explain. With mine, I actually lost the weight pretty quickly. So for me, it'll definitely tone up, but it does hang over. And sometimes, you know, if I'm walking, I kind of feel jiggle a little bit.
You have high expectations, so you know, you want it just to all go back to where it was.
So I think the biggest takeaway is age. Age is something but a number to these ladies, and it's not a quick fix, especially after having a baby. You got to give yourself time. Estrogen dominance is real and is a big factor contributing to the pooch after the age of 35. Then we heard the trainer say she recommended a 3 to 6 month plan for losing weight. Anything less than 6 weeks is not realistic. And then I think for me, Spanx is not the devil after all. I mean, you heard one of the ladies say she wears Spanx, she wears the waistband, and she wears a girdle just so her pooch can stay in place, and she's even seen it reduced. So there you go. What was your biggest takeaway during this episode, and why did it stick? I want you to post your comments on www.ninababel.com/girlcirclemedia and head over to the podcast page, and you'll look for episode number 1, The Pooch, where you will post what you're thinking but not saying out loud. Now you have the over the jeans pooch. These women, they look like Michelin tires in their clothing, no lie. Even worse, they have a dad bod. I don't know what woman finds sexy about this look, because it's not cute. It's not healthy either, especially to see young girls wear these tight-ass, low-rise jeans and then have their pooch hanging over it. And then what's even worse, you see them constantly like pulling and tugging their shirts to cover it. I mean, to me, it doesn't make sense. I mean, if you notice a girl has a wardrobe issue, do you try to find a way to tell her? I know it's not always possible, though, because it's a delicate subject for all of us. Lastly, we have the I can't shit pooch. Okay? This changes my mood, energy level, and gives me the itis. This is the pooch that sticks out because I'm not regular, meaning I don't go to the bathroom regularly, which is not a good thing. Everybody should be going to the bathroom 1 to 2 times a day. But my body knows when I'm not home. My body knows when it's in a different country, and it just refuses to cooperate. But as soon as I pull in the driveway, and the whole public bathrooms thing, can't do it. I even have a friend who takes a taxi home from her job just to use the bathroom because she doesn't do public bathrooms.
I'm not making any bones about it. It's facts.
But how did that, like, even become to that extent? Like, where you just don't do it. You hold it until you get to a comfortable, safe place or clean place that you know. Like, at what age do you think that started?
I remember one particular incident was when I was dating Keith and I had drank tea in the morning and the milk was rancid and I had to use the bathroom and I took a taxi back to his house.
because there were no single stalls, and I don't like being in the bathroom with other people. I just don't feel comfortable. Like, I'm not in a zone where I can just go. I cannot.
Have you been that way from school, or you think as an adult?
I've just never been one to use public washrooms. I only pee in a public washroom because I just don't think they're clean. I mean, that's not saying it. Everybody knows that they're not clean, and right. I just don't feel comfortable when there are people beside me. I just want to be by myself.
Can you relate to that story? So I'm getting smarter about this whole shapewear thing, though. I mean, from what I was told, Spanx is good and evil. And from what I'm hearing, the good part is it makes your body tight as a rock, mostly to avoid all the lines, the lumps, the bumps, and it smooths out your spare tires. Okay. And then the evil part of that, I hear it's addictive. Like, you'll just start wearing it under everything.
Nina's purpose is to empower women to celebrate women's embarrassing moments. If you're too shy, nervous, or embarrassed to ask about sensitive girly stuff, you're in the right place.
But let's face it, women come in all different shapes and sizes. And remember, nobody is perfect by any means. You may never get there either, and I may never be the way I was 20 years ago. So what? Part of me is in denial. Yeah, I embrace it. But I'm new to this whole shape-controlling, tummy-sucking, estrogen-dropping world that I'm now in. I consider myself healthy, I'm active, I'm a clean eater, no doubt. Spanx is the devil in disguise, and I'm not willing to go there and meet my vanity maker yet, but I am getting smart about shapewear. Spanx is good and evil. From what I'm hearing, the good part is it makes your body tight as a rock, mostly to avoid the lines, the lumps, and bumps. It smoothens out those spare Michelin tires, right? I'm not knocking shapewear. Hey, if it helps you feel more confident, then there's nothing wrong with that. So how do you overcome the bloat, the pooch? Well, the obvious answers are get 8 hours, clock your stress at the door, meditate, plank AF, and purge. Purge the toxins from your body. But just to get a medical perspective, I've asked Dr. Earl, who's a naturopath in the Washington, D.C. metro area, to chime in on this conversation and inform us women the reason behind the pooch, especially as we age, the warning signals, why it could be a trigger to a bigger health issue, and what things we can start doing, whether it's taking the right vitamin or supplement or food to counteract the pooch.
So two things I want to know. What are the warning signals of having a pooch for any woman, especially as they age?
Probably estrogen and probably what they call insulin. You'll see a gaining in those particular areas only because of the fact that they dwell inside the fat cells. And so the fat cells are so important to keep them trim. So that's why you have to watch your carbs. So what would you do? You would not eat a lot of carb foods. You would kind of come off of them and fast one day on nothing but like a green mix, 8-11-2-5, and water in between. That actually helps the carbs even lower in the system, but it also lowers the insulin because the pancreas won't yield insulin.
What does 8-11?
That's the times that you would take your green mix.
So what was it again? 8-11?
8-11, 2 and 5. So all day long, you're just drinking green. Well, that's your fast day. That's a fast day, but you're just drinking green. But for about a month or so, you're just not messing with any carbs. Rice, bread, pasta, none of those things are you messing with. You're going to just eat your protein and your vegetables. Protein and your vegetables, that's how you eat. And on that one particular day, you're going to fast just drinking green, which will actually lower that insulin levels, and you just start coming off. Because women, even though they start getting toward like menopause, they will start, their fat cells hold estrogen. Well, you don't want that. Hair follicles hold estrogen. They still have estrogen because your body still has it, even though they're in an almost menopausal state. So you want to make sure that they can have enough carbs out of the system, and you want to decrease your hormonal base. And that's why you probably would use like herb like kelp in any iodine type supplement. And guess what would happen? You just trim right down.
So then what would be the top supplements a woman should focus on if that's such a problem area? You mentioned iodine, kelp.
You would use a balancer. I would take a test. You can order tests for what your progesterone and estrogen levels are. See, when they take it from the blood, you don't want it from the blood. You actually want it from the saliva. So take a saliva test and see where you are, because when you think of estrogen, you must remember that it's a 20-to-1 ratio, estrogen to progesterone. So if your estrogen is 1, your progesterone has to be 20. When you get these numbers, you'll see what the disparity is. You would say, oh, wait a minute, I need to increase my progesterone. Because most of the time you wouldn't have enough estrogen because it's all over the place. It's called xenoestrogen, so it's everywhere. And see, you're still making it. So that's why women, when they come to the doctors, they're going, he said, I'm gaining weight. But you know, they've been on birth control pills for a while, so they're loaded with stuff. So I know one hand they try to protect themselves. The other hand, they're actually doing themselves a disservice because estrogen goes abound. So that's why I think you're seeing the influx of breast cancer so much. There's just so much going on because the estrogen is all over the place. It's in the processed foods. It's in all your foods that you have, like meats, because they pump them with hormones to get them fat. And that fat goes into you. And your bowels got to stay. If your bowels don't move, you're holding estrogen. Because that's one way of estrogen getting out, through the bowel. Now, if you don't eat enough fiber, the estrogen stays in. But if you're not moving, don't eat a lot of fiber. I would just start off with a half a teaspoon each day and drink a lot of liquid so you can kind of scrape that colon out.
Half a teaspoon of what?
Like psyllium or flaxseed. Flaxseed is a fiber, and it will start sweeping, and then your estrogen goes out the door, and you won't hold it.
So supplements then would be flaxseed, iodine, kelp.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of eliminate the pooch.
Because mm-hmm. you have to make sure, because see, a lot of times when you cycle, women eat a lot of sweets. They eat sweets, cause, you know, like chocolates and stuff like that. That craving, because your body's looking for certain minerals and so forth. And so since you need some energy because it's performing a task, you want to start eating good foods on that time, and you'll start seeing better results.
So learning to love yourself can be the hardest battle for us women to deal with in life. Remember not to care what others think and realize that you are a worthy girl. Self-love is the most liberating feeling. Everything else, it's gonna sag, but not your personality. Just manage your pooch the way that makes you feel good every single day. But just know, once you hit 30, girl, not only will time speed up dramatically, things will keep changing mentally and even physically. In fact, your body changes every 7 years. Just try and point yourself in a positive direction and enjoy the ride. I know there's not a one-size-fits-all experiences and remedies. Our struggle is real. And if you enjoy this podcast, like it, share it with your friends. What about you? What are your pooch struggles that you want to share with the girl circle? But before that, I want you to do 2 things. I want you to reply to this podcast or send a quick email to ask@ninababel.com and tell me what you're struggling with right now. Even if it's something really, really small, don't hesitate. So the second thing I want you to do is, the best conversations happen after each podcast. So why not take it to my website? Go to the comments and let's brainstorm together. You will go to www.ninababel.com. So it's N-I-N-A-B-A-B-E-L girlcirclemedia.com/girlcirclemedia. Then you're going to click podcast and look for this episode called The Pooch to post your comment. Tune into next week's episode where I'm going to be calling out that sticky and gross stuff in your underwear that we women deal with on a regular. Yeah. I look forward to hearing your mother friggin' real stories, comments, and feedback. Thanks, girl.